Buckle up for a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We've got Chris Armour from Snakebone here on the line. We're going to be chatting about their new single, Femi. How are we doing, Chris?
Yeah, good, man. It's a bit of an early rise for me. Bit of a late night mixing a few tunes, so yeah, thanks for giving me a reason to get up and do something before midday.
No worries at all, no worries. You can hear me all good, Chris?
Yeah, man, really good.
Cool. Sometimes when I set up the equipment here to allow for a Zoom interview, it can be a bit finicky, so I'm glad that it's going off without a hitch now. That's great. So this new single, Femi, from your band Snakebone, is the name related to the Nigerian Yoruba term, which means love me? Is that what the name is?
A little bit, yes. Look at that, straight out the gate with a with some knowledge in the question. Nice job. It is kind of we went back and forth with names. We had a bit of a cringy name when we were a working band around Wellington, just doing little trio instrumental gigs, and we shopped around for a while to find something a bit cooler, a bit more indicative of the style, and landed on Snakebone for whatever reason. Yeah.
And where did the track, where'd the name for the track Femi come from? Like, I mean, it's obviously this Yoruba term, but how, that seems like a very esoteric thing to know. How do you all find that out?
How does anyone find anything out these days, mate? Google.
Very, very true. Okay, very true.
I wish there was a cooler answer, but yeah. And well, usually with naming instrumental songs can be a tricky one, because you're that's kind of like a huge signifier for what the vibe of a track is. So we try to find something in the name that, you know, that correlates with the music that we're making, and we felt like it has a bit of a foreign influence that we wanted to kind of tip our hat to. Yeah,
for sure. I mean, from the poster art for the single to the video, which has a bunch of really cool stuff, i.e. a dude biting a torch, it has someone in a headdress with a loom, a bunch of people in stone houses making clothes, it's got old grainy footage of deserts, and these are all from a documentary called Wheels Over Africa. How did you guys come across this, and how do those African influences, like, come into your music, I guess?
So the whole video that we made up was kind of the brainchild of Thomas Friggins, and just, you know, it's the same, the thought behind it is the same as the name, is we're trying to evoke something visually that correlates with the music. And the West African kind of influence for me personally comes from a guitarist called Ali Fakatore, who's a really great electric guitarist who has this completely unique style of playing, where it's all, not to get too technical, but it's all just like really fast hammer-on pull-off styles with a really kind of idiosyncratic feel. Mm-hmm. And that was quite a huge influence on the guitar playing in this song in particular. Yeah,
classic hammer-on with the pull-offs. I know that. Very familiar with that. That's the one.
Tweedly doos. the flicker giggle goos, as Jack Black would say.
Flicker digga doo. Yeah. Cracker.
That's the one, mate. You got it.
Now, your band has been active since 2021, but it hasn't released anything. How many tunes have you all got in the vault, and why does now make a good time for releasing music?
Well, the problem with this band really is that we're all such busy fellows that it's quite hard to get around to actually releasing our own music, because we tend to put a lot of our time and efforts into helping other people realize their projects. So Thomas, you know, Thomas Friggins, the drummer, and Dale Jellyman, the keys player, they all have, you know, 5 to 10 other side projects that they're playing in. As do I, and so finding the time to put towards our project can be quite difficult. So that's why it's taken a while. You know, we started writing all the tunes in lockdown, flicking them back and forth, and then once we could all get together again, got together in one, you know, either my home studio or Dale's home studio, and recorded and then mixed the tunes ourselves. So, you know, with all of the other distractions that we've had musically and otherwise, yeah, it's really satisfying to finally have something to throw out there. We've got about an album worth of tunes behind this as well that we're just kind of chipping away at, and looking to release them over the next kind of 12 to 18 months as we finish them.
Sick. Very excited to hear that. Now, you mentioned that everyone in the band has side projects. I looked up you in particular. You have a quartet, a blues quartet. Are you still working with them much?
Yeah, look, I mean, every now and then. For me, like, the way being a musician works in this country for a lot of people is you kind of become a jack of all trades. You spread yourself quite wide. So as an opportunity arises, you know, let's say I get the hankering to go and play some blues, I'll go and book some gigs, or something falls in my lap that fits that band, I'll go and pitch that band for it and we'll go and do that. But yeah, blues was kind of my first love, and it got me into music and guitar in particular, and every now and then I find myself just coming back to it after a while. It's kind of my native tongue musically, I think.
Well, I was going to ask, how do you find and navigate the stylistic differences between, you know, playing blues guitar and the guitar style that you're executing on Femi?
Good question for all the guitar players out there in the audience. excuse the technical answer. I guess it's like, I do have to try to specifically wear different hats with different projects. So like with this band in particular, there's certain things that I definitely won't do. I try to think about the approach and get into the head of the tune that we're playing, and kind of cauterize the bits of my playing that might be more suited to other genres like blues, and just cut them out. It's all in the music is all in the inflection of how you phrase things, I think, and I like to think of that when I'm trying to get in the headspace of a band or a project, or, you know, Snakebone in particular is a lot more influenced by world music and hip hop, kind of simple, kind of nefarious sounding melodies and repetitive hypnotic stuff. So it's not really like a big defining factor of this band is that it's not really jammy. A lot of instrumental bands might be.
Yeah, for sure. Way more hypnotic, I would say. Just kind of like, it puts you in a bit of a trance. That's how I kind of characterize it.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're going for.
Yeah, it's got almost, I don't know, it feels like you're just meandering through like a big old, like, desert at night or something. That's the tones, that's the imagery that conjures up in my head when I hear that song. It's just like staring
awesome
at the stars.
That's great.
Yeah, no, it's
awesome. That's good to hear that, because when you don't have lyrics, you rely on the music and you know, to do the work of the lyrics. So it's all about, for us, really trying to kind of create a space or a place for the song, and have some kind of visual connotation with it. I reckon, at least for me, that's a real strong thing, some sort of cinematic aspect to the music. Yeah.
Well, this might sound like a bit of a question, like a Philistine kind of question, but how do you, when recording instrumentally based songs, just entirely instrumental songs, how do you tell when the song is complete? Because I feel like you could just keep adding a bunch of different elements and just make it really maximalist very fast.
Yeah. I mean, that you can do that with vocal songs too. People overproduce the hell out of stuff, you know. But with instrumental stuff, I think that usually you have a melody instrument that's functioning as the lead vocal would, which is, you know, providing the hook. And from there, it's really just about supporting that in the simplest form that you can, I reckon. It's really about minimalism for how we like to approach things. Like this song in particular came from the bass line first, where I was driving home from rehearsal and I voice memoed it to myself, kind of singing it in the car, and then recorded that when I got home, and then tried to find a kind of counterpoint melody that would kind of bolster what was already happening, that had a bit of juxtaposition against that. And from there, you're just kind of, like I said, the simplest road to it feeling finished, so you're not just layering and layering. It can be really easy to do that these days, because everything's just at your fingertips with, you know, with all of the DAWs and the plugins that we have and the virtual instruments. You know, you could just go for days. But I think strongly that there's only so much kind of sonic information in a song that you can you can put on it before it starts detracting. It's kind of like cooking in a way.
Mm. You don't want to overspice it, you know.
Exactly. Like if you're putting everything in there, like you're not putting, you know, I don't know.
Let's get some tomatoes, garam masala, chives. Just keeps adding
everything.
All the, yeah. All the, you can't have all the flavors.
It's like every color together makes brown, and you know what brown is, right?
It's a great color, but not necessarily. Yes. We want to have our reds and our blacks and our pinks and our so on and so forth.
Yeah, you want kind of strong vibrancy. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And it's all about like most things in life, balance. It sounds like balancing out everything. Now you're planning to release more music over the next 12 to 8 months. Will you be coming to Aussie any time in those in that time span?
Ooh,
come on, mate.
Bank account's willing. You know, if one of us has a good punt on the TAB and we're feeling flush, that may happen. Although the NBA has not been kind to me. Oh man, I'd love to come down to Dunedin. I've got a good friend, Oscar Dell, who used to live down there, and he was always kind of ranting about it.
Oh, we play him a fair amount on the station here.
Great. He's a Gary. He's a really lovely dude. We did an album together and a bunch of touring with. I'm hanging out for him to come back from Aussie. Anyway, Dunedin. Yeah. For us right now, no one really knows who we are. So this is a shout out to people listening. Give us a little. Search on Spotify and give our tune a hone. Mm-hmm. If you like it, give us a follow. If you don't, go about your day.
Yeah.
And hopefully if a couple of people do that and they like it, we can make our way down to Dunedin and do a little gig for you.
Yes, well, I certainly hope that people catch on to your tunes fast, because it'd be great to see you come down and play at one of the venues here. It'd be awesome.
Man, looking forward to it.
Yes, very much so. Thank you very much, Chris, for coming on this morning.
Cheers, mate. Have a good day.
You too. All right, that was Chris Armour from the Wellington-based band Snakebone. We're chatting about their latest single, Femi, and a bunch of adjacent topics, I guess. I reckon we just get into playing the track. So, without further ado, here is Femi by Snakebone. You're listening to The Late Breakfast here on Radio 1. Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. Up after this, we'll have In The Loop with R1 News producer Jemima. Quick reminder, if you'd like to win Pretty Dumb's Dumb Show on cassette, all you gotta do is text into 0212 Radio 1 and let me know what your favourite cassette you've ever had was. I'm very curious to know. But yes, here is Femi by Snakebone. See you very shortly.
For choosing a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. There are more just like this at r1.co.nz.